Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 10 of season 5. This one is called The New Ground, or just New Ground actually, no The New Ground. It was directed by Robert Shearer. Teleplay goes to Grant Rosenberg, story goes to Sarah Charno and Stuart Charno. It aired back on January 19th, 1992. In this episode, Worf is less than thrilled when his foster mother, Helena, arrives with his son, Alexander. Although Helena and Worf's foster father, Sergei, have agreed to raise the boy after Kalar's death, Helena now reports that Alexander is having difficulty adjusting to his new life. He needs to be raised by his father on the Enterprise. Modi's here to talk about this one. It's the sort of introduction of Alexander. Alexander's been seen before, but this is the first time where he's going to become sort of a, if not full-time, a recurring guest star on the show, for all the pluses and minuses that entails. After this little audio break, me and Modi are going to come back. We're going to break down New Ground.
Did you see it, Father? I won!
Yes, I saw. Why are you here?
I'm training.
But you did not ask permission to take my batleth, or permission to use the holodeck.
But you said you wanted me to be a warrior.
I also said I wanted you to obey your teachers and keep your promise to me. Ms. Kyle told me about your behavior, about your lies.
I have not lied.
Alexander, do not continue
to... She's lying. She hates me. That's why she makes up stories about me.
I will not listen to more lies.
So it's kind of a trendy thing in sort of modern day workplaces, or at least the workplace I'm at, to talk about, like, one of the important things about a job when you're considering a job is what kind of work-life balance it has. It feels like work-life balance has completely fallen apart in the 24th century Federation.
He has a kid for 2 days and never shows up to anything on time as soon as the kid shows up.
Yeah, he can't do that. Why do they schedule everything during work hours? How about they schedule some things outside of work hours? And this was an eye-opening thing. Apparently, when you get personal conversations calls on your communicator, it can just happen at any time. Like, yeah, when the teacher calls him to say that Alexander...
Yeah, interrupts. He's on the bridge. Like, he has one of the most important jobs on the ship, and you're interrupting him from that job. Like, of keeping you safe, basically.
Yeah.
Like, you don't call a cop while he's on duty to tell him his kid had a problem at school.
Right.
Like, and that's just, like, a single police officer.
You'd think they'd have a voicemail on their communicators. They can just be like, this is an urgent. Just like when Lieutenant Worf is off duty, how about you deliver this message to him?
No voicemail exists at this time in the world, though.
Yeah, we're talking about New Ground, which is the sort of introduction of Alexander. He's been here before. We saw him, his introduction episode, which was Reunion, I think, with Kalar when she dies. This is the introduction of Alexander as somewhat of a recurring guest star on the show. Everyone who's listening to this podcast is probably familiar with the Alexander character. He is considered to be one of the biggest missteps that the show ever did. That said, I don't think he's terrible in this episode. What do you think?
He has worse episodes, I will say that, but I don't still think it is good. I don't know if I'm hard on kid actors in general, though.
Yes.
So it's tough to sell me on it. You have to be pretty damn good at what you do to get by as far as being a kid and looking natural at being a kid.
Yeah.
But he's not doing that. I mean, he's a Klingon, so maybe you can give him a pass on that, but he's not a very natural kid. It reeked of Phantom Menace to me, basically.
Kid actors have a very hard time with authentic anger. Like, they can't do it really well. I thought he's okay here. His cringiest line is the, you only care about your honor. Like, when kid actors are forced to say lines like that, it never comes across genuine.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because
I don't know what the reason is. Like, it just doesn't seem, it doesn't seem believable that a person that young would have that sort of reaction.
Well, because it was written by some 50-year-old man, usually.
Right. Yeah.
The
yeah.
reason doesn't work. You yeah. can't, like, the kid, the things that my kid says are, like, ridiculous and just everything about them.
It's right.
Like, you can't write this. Like, he doesn't, like, first of all, he doesn't even talk in words most of the time, even though he knows how to speak English.
Yeah.
He rarely uses it.
Right. He chooses not to. And he's, yeah, they're forced to have, like, interactions with a subject matter that's a little bit too advanced for how old the character is supposed to be.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, let me bounce this off you. If at the end of this episode, Worf again sent away Alexander, would that improve make this episode worse?
No, that would make it worse.
That would
sure.
make it worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just can't end it like that.
Just because Worf at that point has shirked his responsibility.
He'd be a monster, basically. Yeah, exactly. He would have lost all credibility when he talks about honor and family and everything like that. Like, he would have lost forever.
That's true. I mean, I think the problem here is that on its own, if this episode stood alone and you never saw Alexander again, it might be okay. It's really just, I don't think this episode is that bad. It's really just a harbinger for the Alexander character, who I know is going to get much worse, and the Worf character and his interaction with Alexander is not going to work. Like, I think that this one works in the sense that Worf has a good reaction to all of a sudden being forced to care for, how old was this, a 5-year-old, however old Alexander is supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, he's not comfortable around him. He doesn't know how to talk to him. He talks to him as if he's much older, sort of, like he wants to talk about honor. And Alexander is not prepared for that, and I appreciated that. I appreciate the fact that they did that. The greatest weakness of the episode, I think, is that it doesn't really fully get its arms around the fact that Worf screwed up by sending him away in the first place.
It starts to a little bit, but... yeah, it doesn't, when he's in his little therapy session with Deanna, it starts to touch upon that a little bit, that
yep.
he felt abandoned because you sent him away, and this is all your fault. It does touch on that just a little bit, but
it
doesn't actually
yeah.
expressly say, you know, you should have kept him here, because you can see how frazzled he is dealing with this, though. Like, and he's not, again, ever, after this moment in the series. Like, it never is like, oh, I got, you know, shoot, my kid's acting up again, I gotta go, guys.
Yep.
Never comes up again.
Well, there's a lot of
at all.
It seems like there's a lot of paperwork at first when you bring
yeah.
someone new onto the ship. You got to do a lot of shit for them.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's tough because, let's see, like the Worf thing. I feel like you needed to focus more on Worf made a dumb decision at first. You know, because his decision to send him away, I don't think. Do you think that the show believes that he did the right thing sending him away in the first place?
It seems to be punishing him for it, so I don't know. I don't think that they liked that. I mean, they obviously brought him back and kept him after this, so they must have preferred having Alexander around too.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I think they are scolding him a little bit for sending him away then in the earlier episode.
Yeah, it's... The one thing I sort of picked up on here is, I don't know if this is intentional or not. Let me know what you think. The character of Alexander is such like a tragic character. Like, I can't think of anyone with more shit just like put against them for the entire run of a series. They even do this on Deep Space Nine, where Alexander eventually becomes sort of like a delinquent, which totally makes sense with what's going on here. I think the show just is not willing to embrace the fact that Worf is screwing this up at this point. And
yeah.
And that's kind of a weakness. Like the show's tone makes us want to think that Worf is now finally doing the right thing and everything's going to be cured. Like he doesn't, the show gives the implication that Worf never talked to Alexander before this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like he just ignored him. Like he never got a call from his mom ever before about anything to do with his son. Like this, I don't know. He's been there for a while though. So
yes, he has.
They had conversations about how is it going? Is he struggling? Yada yada. He doesn't seem to know anything about what's going on.
His conversation is,
oh, I heard you're in my old room. And that's the end of the conversation. That's the last thing he says to him, actually.
They shake hands when they introduce, which is what I do with my father now, but I'm also 30 something years old, so I don't need to be hugging him at this point. But I think you should hug your 5-year old.
Usually pretty important.
He gets a deer in headlights kind of thing when he's asked about his birthday. Which,
oh god, that was good. I like that actually.
I can understand, you know, parents split up and kids move around. I feel you should. Worf should have been calling on his birthday, I suppose.
Yeah,
that kind of
or
thing.
At least wrote it down someplace and learned it, because it can't be the first time it's ever come up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess it's to demonstrate how, you know, how much he was kept out of the loop about him in the first place, and they do touch on his anger about that later on. And Deanna's like, it's okay to be angry and still love her, but I don't know.
Yeah,
it doesn't come through though in this for sure. It just shows him as kind of incompetent, basically.
Right. I mean, you can balance it by having him be like, Worf is like, oh, it was better for you to live there, but I'm still invested in you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he could have a relationship where he's uncomfortable like he is in this episode, because I think any new parent with just sort of given a 5-year-old is kind of an awkward transition. You know what I mean? Like I could deal with that, but the episode makes it come across like Worf has been totally disconnected from what's been going on, which does not buy into the whole way that he perceives Klingon culture to be, where like family is everything to them.
Right. And he seems like the way it comes off, he seems like he's dodging responsibility more than he's trying to do what's right for Alexander.
Right. Yes, exactly. And the show...
Especially how it goes for him when he's on the ship and has the kid. It's like, oh, you can't have a work-life balance at all, like you said. Like, it's tough to be, you know, a security officer, and you can't do both. You can't have it all, Worf. You can't have it all.
You absolutely cannot. And I think that's sort of the weird misstep of this one. Like, even if you just hinted in the teaser that Worf had some kind of relationship with him, like he's writing like a letter or doing like a voicemail thing where they talk to him and stuff like that, it would have gone a long way to showing that the real thing here is that Worf is not just like unfailingly cruel or like cold to him. It's just that he needs to come around to the fact that this is what he's doing. And they get to that eventually. You bring up the Troy Kalar thing. I thought that was a weird shift where they're like, you're really just mad at Kalar. It's like, really? we need to bring that might be emotionally grounded, but it felt like a weird shirking of responsibility onto a dead person.
Again, it shifts any kind of fault to someone else rather than Worf
for dying.
Not, you know, if a 5-year-old thrust upon you, like I understand you don't feel like you're equipped to deal with it, but when you're a parent, you figure it out, man. Like, just do it. Just fake it until you make it, in a certain regard.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You're not the first person to ever be in the situation, I guarantee you, first of all.
Yeah.
And you'll figure it out. You just got to try, and he sends him away. He sends him to live with his parents. Like, Mom, can you take care of my kid for me? I screwed up. Okay, like, this is not becoming, Worf. This is not becoming at all.
Yeah, even though he knows that Klingon children are apparently difficult to raise. Although, I don't know if that ever bears out. It might just be Worf's opinion on things. It would kind of make sense that they were, but I mean,
What experience does he have with Klingon children, though?
Right,
because he was not raised by a Klingon.
Or with Klingon children. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just going off of inferences from what he thinks should be happening. He's on the mommy blogs for Klingons, basically, to find out what's supposed to be happening with your 5-year-old.
He's following along what to expect when you're a warrior or whatever.
Yeah, what to expect when you're Klingon expecting.
the other sort of little touch I like here is that Worf sort of disregards all of the problems that Alexander is having until he becomes a liar. Like, that's the only thing he really cares
about.
Well,
it reflects poorly on him then.
Yes.
Is the thing. Yeah, he talks about honor, and it's his own honor he's worried about. So he's not worried about the kid, you know.
Right, yeah.
Don't get caught, basically, is what it comes down to.
Right, because the Klingons have everything the son does. The son is responsible for the father, and it works both ways, basically. He's very upset here about him being a liar, which is hilarious, and stealing the little the lizard thing or whatever, stealing is very bad, and just, you know, talking to Alexander about honor and why it's important and everything. That culminates in the Alexander, all you care about is your honor scene, which is not particularly great. But
nope.
I mean, I don't think this one's bad. I think this one could have done with like a polish or something, like another pass through to make this feel a little bit more cohesive. Let's talk about.
I wonder if this writer has children at all, even maybe.
Oh, these were. I think I remember. This episode is not written by staff, so I don't know who these people are. So this is a. This is something, probably a freelance type script, but it looked like it was written by, it's either a brother and sister or husband and wife. They have the same last names. They might have kids, yeah.
Yeah, it could be then. I don't know. There's certain elements of, I mean, it's any thing where you have a kid actor, it never rings true enough. There were some moments, actually, where it's like, oh, you can turn it around. So Alexander gets mad at Worf because he said, oh, we can go take a look at the weird creatures again. And you promised we could do it. Now you're changing your word,
right?
And I could see if Alexander took that to its logical conclusion, then you'd actually have a case, and you'd have to explain to him the difference between, you know, like keeping your word and circumstances changing and that kind of thing. And that, I mean, they could have played that up as a 5-year-old not understanding how things change like that,
right? Yep.
Right. It doesn't seem like he kept his word at that point, then.
Right, right. It does seem like Worf is just going back on everything that he'd actually promised. So
yeah.
It's the conflict between the human side and the Klingon side, I guess, which is
maybe,
which is something, I guess. I just wish there was more to that there. Talking about the B plot, we talked in the last episode how about this is another science gone awry story where they've developed a way to shoot starships at warp speeds without having a warp drive on it by basically putting a terribly CGI'd wave behind them.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the B plot here?
Well, okay, so I do like I always like the science gone wrong, episodes where you have to solve it again after trying to, you know, flying too close to the sun and that kind of thing. I always like those kind of plots.
Mm-hmm.
But my thought, I fell asleep. First of all, full disclosure, I fell asleep watching this episode the very first time around.
Sure.
And then I watched it again this morning here, and my thought this morning was that, you know, you're trying to prove that a ship can be sent to warp without a warp engine on it, but they seem to have used a ship that didn't have warp in it in the first place. Otherwise, that ship could have, like, dissipated the wave when it was time after the thing failed, possibly, and just got ahead of it if it had warp capability. But it sounds like they just sent, like, a ship without warp to prove that they can send a ship without warp, but you don't have to use it.
Yeah.
You could just do it, don't use it, and then you can actually solve your own problems down the road.
Yeah, they also, that's true. It's also, I guess they sort of mentioned that this is more efficient than warp, but there's no downside to inefficiency in the universe. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
The warp drive engines at this point in the series seems to be a technology with no downside to it. You know,
right.
So I don't understand what they gain from having an external force pushing the ship at a higher efficiency.
They're never super clear about warp, though, because it always seems like there's no, like you said, there's no downside. So when Picard gives the order, like, okay, warp 3, like, so you want to get there in 3 days instead of, you know, like in 20 minutes.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why do you want to do that?
Right.
So, if it's hard on the engines or something like that, tell me. But, like, don't, like, just say, oh, I want to get there tomorrow, I think.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
You don't want to show up early or whatever. Right. That's yeah. The only time they ever seem concerned is when they're pushing the, like, the maximum.
Oh, yeah.
And
warp
speed.
9 is always a problem. Yeah.
Right.
Warp 9 is the only one that's a problem. But if the difference between warp 3 and warp 6, it seems like it's, like, you know, in terms of, like, scale here, it seems like it's, you know, like thousands of times.
Yes.
Like, it's exponentially faster.
It is, yeah.
But there's also no downside. They push warp 6.9 pretty easily here without, like, you know,
breaking
too much. I guess their shields didn't recover is the big issue they had there, so it was getting there too fast. But, yeah, it's just weird that they never really get into that, or they always gloss over it, or different writers have different takes on how warp's supposed to be.
Yes.
But warp 3 should not be a thing. There should be warp 9, there should be warp 8, and that should be it. That's all that needs to exist.
Yeah, it's right. It doesn't need to be either be there now or be there. I mean, impulse speed makes sense because you want to just sometimes move around real slow,
yeah.
But it is a weird type
for
thing.
For fine movements, right. But, like, yeah, you have your crank it to 10, crank it to 11, and that's it. That's all you need. Like, right. Because you need to have the crank it to 11 moment of
when the plot
usually
when the plot calls for it. Yeah, you need to be able to crank those puppies up. That's true. They don't really. It's not like it burns through energy or anything. Like they make it sound like the dilithium crystals are kind of a self-repairing thing that once you get the crystal, you're just kind of fine with it.
Right. And if they get damaged, then it's a problem. And I guess going warp 9 can damage them. I get that part of it.
Right.
Like if you go too fast and overwork them, they become damaged. I can get that. But yeah, I don't. There's no fuel in this basically. So.
Right. Yes, exactly.
So just don't overdo it. You're fine.
it's true. And I don't know. Just it seems very inefficient to sort of just hitch a ride to a wave that also can destroy planets.
And also accidentally destroys planets, yeah.
So that's not too great. I thought this one was kind of clunkily tied into the A-plot. Possibly even worse than the Matter Time episode tied its B-plot to its A-plot. This one really just feels like it's happenstance that ultimately causes a disaster that Alexander gets hurt in, and they have to rescue him.
It's not dovetailing. It's you could have absolutely anything happen in the B plot that culminates in putting Alexander in danger.
Right.
So the B plot doesn't matter then in that regard. So like you could plug any kind of script you have into that spot, and it would do just fine.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
So it doesn't. That's why it doesn't work that well for me.
Right. I think that's 100% correct. It's you really need any story to get to a point where Alexander's stuck under some metal. Also, I love the contrast between something goes wrong, right, in the sort of bay where Alexander is, where he's got those creatures. Outside in the rest of the ship, totally normal.
Yeah.
When they go into that room. Beams fire. Have fallen down, and there is fire everywhere.
like there's structural problems with the ship in that room, but only that room.
Only that room.
How did you contain the falling beams and debris and all that? Like, it shouldn't be the case.
It looks like a bomb went off in there and just destroyed everything. It makes absolutely no sense why that room is like that. It gets Michael Dorn gets to do some great pretending to lift something light that he has to pretend is heavy, which is always
twice
fantastic.
In this, actually, because he rips the panel off the wall also, which he makes a big deal of that, but it shouldn't be that difficult to take the panel off the wall because it had like components behind there that people would need to access.
I was thinking the exact same thing. There is so like a chipset back there that you have to manipulate, and for some reason it's secured behind like titanium plating that you have to tear off the wall.
So you just rip it off the wall. He shoves Riker out of the way to do it and tears it off the wall to show his manliness, and it's like, yeah, but that probably is accessible by some like geeky engineer because they have to get access to that at some point to fix that.
What was the point of Riker in that scene? Shouldn't Worf...
He walks up carrying a pole at one point, after he sees Worf lift the thing off with his bare hands. He's like carrying a pole to use as a lever. He's like, I got this, and he throws it down after he sees Worf.
Clangs on the ground. I mean, just as a narrative thing, he doesn't do anything to help Alexander escape. And wouldn't it have been a dramatic thing for Worf to go back in to save the creatures after he rescued Alexander, you know, as some kind of like to bond with the kid.
Because he sends Riker in there, and that's not any kind of emotional weight.
Right.
But so they need Riker there, as far as story-wise, they need Riker there to demonstrate the difference between a father and a regular actions of a crewman.
Oh, sure.
But again, like if they had done a powerful thing of like, your son cares about these things, you're going to risk your life to do what he cares about. That would be more powerful, but he sends Riker instead. So Riker might be a better dad than Worf, actually.
That's true. And Riker has his own tumultuous relationship with his father. You watched that one with me, right? The Icarus
Factor. Yeah, I think that was one of mine, for sure.
Yeah. So it's a lot of daddy issues going on here in this one. I thought that was weird. I didn't understand the point of having Riker down there with that whole thing.
I guess you could have used any random crewman, too.
Yeah.
Just want to give Riker some screen time, maybe, I guess.
Yeah. It is what it is. And then after that, we get the closing scene where Alexander is now going to be part of the crew. Not the crew, but he's just going to be on the ship. I don't know when he appears next. I don't think it's for a while. So again, Worf is just going to go back to forgetting that he has a son on the Enterprise.
Most of the time,
which is fine.
Not going to come up most of the time. Turns out it's not a big deal.
No, not a big deal at all. Interesting. Anyway, I mean... And do you have any sort of final thoughts about Alexander before we wrap this one up? Or like any, let's see, like going forward, he's going to be there for a little bit of time. Do you think it was a good idea, just in terms of this episode, to keep him on the show at the end?
I mean, in terms of the show, I guess it gives them more ideas for bad plots in the future.
It does.
So I guess in that regard, it's a good thing, because then you can churn out a couple of steamers occasionally.
Can you come up with a way to not keep Alexander on the ship?
I don't think you can avoid it, because you set up Worf to be in the wrong for sending him away in the first place. So if you send him back to Klingon school as a punishment, it's going to reflect pretty poorly. I don't think there's a way you can spin that as Worf, as he tries to. He tries to spin it as a positive for the kid, but it rings hollow because, you know, in the little therapy sesh, the truth comes out.
Right, right.
Courtesy of Deanna, who's actually doing therapy things again.
She's super nosy in this episode again.
Real pushy.
She's the character who waits in a hallway until she sees someone coming down the hallway and then chases after them to like harass them about what they're doing.
She set up the field trip. He wasn't aware of the field trip. She told him about it and was like, "Oh, I'll sign you up." And he's like, "I said I might be able to reschedule what I have to do, this super important thing that the captain gave me 2 minutes ago. I guess I can reschedule." He's like, "Okay, I'll sign you up." Like, okay, I said maybe. I was trying to use that as an out. It's like, "Oh, yeah, maybe we'll do that. Go away, please."
I know.
That's how I read it.
The maybe is a polite no. It's like exactly. Facebook. You have to understand it's Facebook rules.
Yeah.
That's true. She's super nosy in this one, just sort of butting into Worf's thing. I was thinking the only way to get out of this, but it would be way too dark for the show, is if Alexander died at the end. Like, that's the only
Holy
way.
Cow. You couldn't even get away with that. You couldn't get away with it in this episode. It would have to be much more important.
Yes.
Whatever kills him.
Yes. Yeah. If the warp wave could not have killed him, it would have had to be something else.
And then we wouldn't have things like Fistful of Data's later on.
I mean, maybe you... I think it's way too dark for the show to kill a kid. But I mean...
Yeah, no.
That's the only way I think you can get out of not keeping him around and not having it be Worf's shirking of responsibility again.
Pretty much.
But
you can't kill a kid, unfortunately.
No, that's
God.
That's tough.
Too bad, right?
And all you parents out there, I know. It's like the Louis C.K. bit or whatever. You haven't thought about it. Anyway, let's wrap this one up, I guess. We'll play an audio clip. Me and Modi are going to come back and give our final thoughts and ratings for New Ground.
Klingon schools are designed to be difficult. The physical and mental hardships faced by the students are meant to build character and strength. However, if you wish to face a greater challenge, you may stay here with me. It will not be easy for either of us. But perhaps we can face the challenge together.
I accept your challenge, Father. I will stay.
I believe your mother would be pleased.
All right. Final thoughts for New Ground. The reintroduction of Alexander Rozhenko, who I can't spell his last name either. He can't, apparently. And
nope.
I don't know when he was born. He was born on like the 37th day of Moktag. Is that a Klingon calendar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, why are they giving him Klingon calendar dates? I guess that's all he knows. But that means that the teacher knows how to translate Klingon dates to... Oh, he gives him the star date, too.
Gives him the star date, yeah. Yep.
So, I'd have all to, right, fair enough.
I have to go...
Flat hole covered.
I have to go
we
Google
almost had you, Star Trek.
A,
we almost had you.
Google a... Star Trek star date calculator and figure
out. Pull
out
my converter here.
What my birthday
figure out
is.
What Moktar translates to.
What'd you think of Newgrounds? Let's give it your rating and any final thoughts that you have about
it. I'm going to give it a 2.5, I think.
Okay.
Maybe a low 3. It's not like. Again, there's some fun things with Worf becoming a parent. It's not well written. The B plot I like because of the nature of it, but it doesn't belong here.
Right.
But. I don't know. I guess you got to see this episode though to appreciate what comes later with Alexander and all that stuff. So it's necessary to see it. It's not a great one, but
yeah,
you should watch it still.
It's an important episode. It's not particularly good. It's another week 3 for me. Mm-hmm. I pretty much consider it along the same lines as A Matter of Time. it's not great. It's kind of a boring episode. It doesn't really have a central... It has a central conflict, but I don't think the show approaches that conflict in the right way. So it kind of it gets very boring at a certain point, mm-hmm. and it doesn't feel like the show is connecting on what it's trying to talk about.
I did fall asleep, so
you
I
fell
agree.
Yeah, maybe that should, that should dock at a definite 20% on our scale or something.
Yeah,
it's dull. I will agree with that. Alexander's not a great character, although in terms of Alexander episodes, this is not the worst that he's.
This is a better one, actually. It turns out,
yeah, which is. Does not bode well for Alexander's future, unfortunately. But that's it. Little kid, he's a Klingon. He's on the ship now. We're gonna see him every once in a while. I'm gonna give it a 3. Why do you give it a 2.5? I think that's it. Well, guys, if you appreciated the enjoyed the content and you're on YouTube, I appreciate a like and a comment. If you're on iTunes, a rating or review helps get the show out there. We're gonna be back. I forget what the next episode after this is. I don't have the internet up in front of me, but I'll be back with that. Modi, thanks very much for coming on.
No problem, anytime.
And yeah, season 5 continues. This is, looking at the list of episodes, this is the week run of episodes in season 5. So we're soon to be out of it. There's maybe one or two more, if I'm remembering correctly. But after that, we're on to some big and good things. So thank you guys for listening. I'll see you next time.